We are talking about the love of Christ, and we've been on this for a few weeks. It's kind of interesting that, you know, when we think about somebody loving us, we think about somebody caring for us. A lot of times we have an idea for what our life is going to be, what we want our life to be like, right? When you meet somebody, right, maybe somebody that you're interested in getting to know on an intimate level, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend, future spouse, one of the things that you start talking about is what do you want to do with your life? You know, what is it, what is the direction that you're headed, right? And does our two directions line up, right? Somebody wants to be a missionary overseas and the kind of thinking about marrying somebody who's going to be a farmer, right? That's not really going to line up very well. One's married to the land, right? And the other is married to another land. And so we kind of have to say, are we headed in the same direction? But oftentimes we think of love as, you know, are you helping me to get what I need or what I want? And I'm hoping that we're kind of, through this sermon series, beginning to maybe shift a little bit about what love truly is. And so with that, I want to start with this story. It's about Albert Einstein, and he was traveling from Princeton on a train, and the conductor came down the aisle to punch the tickets, and Einstein reached into his vest pocket, and he could not find his ticket. So he reached into his pants pocket, and it wasn't there either. He looked in his briefcase, still could not find it. He looked in the seat next to him, and it wasn't there. The conductor kindly said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. And I am sure that you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." The conductor then continued on his way, punching the tickets. And just before he went to the next car, he turned around and he looked back, and there was Albert Einstein, the great scientist, on his hands and knees looking under the seat for the ticket. So he walked back and he said, "Dr. Einstein, Dr. Einstein, don't worry about it. I know you bought your ticket. It's not a problem. You don't need a ticket. Just let it go." Einstein said, "Young man, I too know who I am. But what I don't know is where I'm going." You kind of need that ticket to see, okay, what stop do I get off at, right? And sometimes I think we are guilty of that. We have this idea of, I want love, but we're not quite sure where we're going. And Christ offers us His love, and He knows the way that we should go. John 15:9 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Sometimes we might think of that as, you know, getting the warm fuzzies, right? Abide in my love. Just kind of stay in this emotional state of, oh man, me and God, we're awesome. We're going to conquer the world together. But actually, Scripture tells us what Christ means by abide in my love. One of the ways He says this is in John 14:1-6. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how could we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way. And as a matter of fact, that was what our faith was called in the beginning. They weren't called Christians in the beginning. They were called followers of the way. We see this in Acts 9, 1 and 2. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul, who was later changed to Paul once he became a believer, but he was going around and getting people who were followers of the way and bringing them to Jerusalem to be charged prosecuted for blasphemy and other things. We see this in Paul's own testimony, Acts 24, 14 through 15. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, in the hope, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, and that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And so we see here that Christianity was first called the way, right? And we know that that way is the way that God has given to us to experience the love that He has for us. And so that we should walk in the way of love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. The NIV says, walk in the way of love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Some of the songs that we were singing this morning were talking about being in relationship with God, giving Him our life, following Him, walking in obedience to Him. And Scripture really kind of portrays that that's what love is. God has a love for us, and if you remember back to a couple weeks ago, we talked about how God's love for us is not based on our behavior. It's not based on what we can do for Him. It's not based on what we have done or haven't done for Him. God loves us because He loves us. He loves us because He created us. He loves us because that's who He is. It's not based on our merit. It's based on who He is and what He created us to be. He loves us. There's nothing that you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing that you can do to unearn God's love. But even in that, God does not love us just to keep us the way we are. We talked last Sunday about how God loves us enough to correct us and to rebuke us. And that true love tells people when they're doing the wrong thing. That's what love really is. Love is caring for somebody enough to help them go in the right direction. We talked about the definition of love is believing the best for somebody and being willing to sacrifice to help them accomplish their best. Sometimes that means correcting bad behavior. And we all, as parents, have experienced that. We love our children enough to say, I'm not going to let you continue to do this behavior. It's harmful to you. It's harmful to me. It hurts our Lord. And if we can understand that, then we can start to understand that there is a way in which we ought to live. And that way is the way of love that Christ has for us. And so love is expressed in obedience. Love is expressed in obedience. It's received in obedience. It's expressed in obedience. John 14, 21 says, "He who has my commands, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." How do we show that we love Christ? We obey him. Now, what I don't want us to think is that this is a special kind of love where, you know, God is up here and we are down here, and it's kind of like a manipulative kind of love where it's like, I created you for myself, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this. That is partially true, but that's partially true of all kinds of love, right? A love that a parent has for their child is that kind of love. Now, we didn't create the child necessarily, but we did help to bring them into the world. But we have an idea of how they should act, of how they should live. And we help and encourage them in the way that they should go. We train them, right? But even if you took that level of relationship out and you just say, okay, well, what about two strangers coming together, right? A boyfriend and a girlfriend, right? Well, oftentimes one of them is going to put forth a vision of how their relationship would go. Hey, let's go and do this. Oh, that sounds good. I would like that. And off they go. And so that is true of all kinds of love, is that somebody is going to say, this is what we should do. Some of you probably don't know this, but it is true, right? When my wife and I started having interest in each other, I said, hey, we should go out for breakfast, which I think was the next morning from when we made this plan. And she showed up for breakfast, and I did not. I overslept. Yeah. That wasn't a very good thing, right? That wasn't very loving, was it? No. Because love, it obeys, right? It goes along with. There is something that ought to be done, right? We make a plan together. And then we go and do it together. Love is expressed in obedience. That's true of each other, our love with each other, and it's also true of our love for God, our love from God. The Bible says that loving God is the test of knowing Him. And we do that through obedience. 1 John 2, 1 through 6 says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, meaning He is the atoning sacrifice, meaning the sacrifice has already been made, it's already been accepted, and He is there next to the Father advocating for us. I write to you so that you may not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate, the Father, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He died for everybody. His love is not just limited to those who love Him back. He died for everyone. Now, by this, we know that we know Him. How do I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that I have a relationship with God? If we keep His commandments. Now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Think of a child. A child comes to you and says, I love you, Dad. Really? Yeah, I love you so much. Well, thank you, child. Child, would you go and clean up your room? No, I wouldn't do that at all. But Dad, I really love you. It's like, well, wait a second. If you love me, wouldn't you do what I told you to do? Nope, not at all. That's not really love, right? Love is expressed in obedience. We teach our kids to obey. We train them to obey because obedience is an important part of loving God and loving our parents and just love in general. I mean, we can turn that around. If I told my child, hey, I love you, child, and he says, Dad, I'm hungry. Would you feed me? And I say, no, I'm not really interested in that. I just want you to know that I love you. So what kind of love is that? It's a very empty, non-existent kind of love. So how do we know that we have a relationship with Christ? How do we know that we're walking in the way that He wants us to go? Is, are we doing that? Are we obeying His commandments? Are we following what He wants us to do? He has a vision for what He wants us to become. And when we walk in that, we are walking in His love. 2 John 1:4 and 6 describes to us a little bit more about this love. It says, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which is what we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That's what Christ wants us to do. He has a vision for our life. He has good things planned. He has blessings that He wants to pour out into our life. And what does He want us to do? Walk in the way. Just do what I tell you to do. John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Just stay right there. Well, what does that mean? What does abide in my love mean? Well, let's unpack that passage a little bit more. John 15:1-12 says, I am the true vine. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What do we understand from this passage? We understand that Christ's love is designed to bear fruit. It has a purpose, it has a goal, it has an intended desire, an effect that it wants to accomplish. How do we abide in Christ's love? We do what he wants us to do. Just as an arborist, I think that's the word, the one who goes out and trims the trees, right? Prunes them to make sure they're healthy, to make sure they're growing, to make sure it's good. You take out the dead branches, you take out the dead leaves, so that way there can be growth and maturity in the body of the plant. Christ's love is designed to do that. I've tried several times to buy bonsai plants. I really love the idea of bonsai plants and manipulating them and sculpting them and getting those little tweezers out and just making it look just like you want. Unfortunately, none of the trees that I buy love me back. They just all die. But maybe I'm not loving them in the way that they should be loved, right? That's probably more the reality of things. But Christ, he has loved us. He does love us. And we are to walk in obedience to him so that we can bear the fruit that he wants us to bear. And a lot of the times, the struggle that we have is Christ wants to bear this kind of fruit over here. And I was like, oh, wait a second, Christ, I thought we were going to bear this kind of fruit over here. Right? I thought comfort and money and, just sitting and just retiring on the beach and doing absolutely nothing, spending my Saturday just, you know, whatever. That was my idea of fruitful. And Christ is like, no, actually, I was hoping that you would sacrifice. I was hoping that you would minister. I was hoping that you would love and care and help. And it's like, wait a second. Did I sign up for that? I didn't think I signed up for that. I thought I signed up for happily ever after. Like, I pray and you answer my prayer, and whatever I ask, you just do it for me. That's what I thought I signed up for. And it's like, no, that's not actually the way. God loves us enough to not give into our desires that will destroy us. He loves us enough to challenge us, to help us grow. That's why we tell our kids, get off the couch, go outside and play. Go out and do something productive. Go out and do something fruitful. Go out and do something that's going to help other people. All right. Christ's love will bear fruit, John 15, 1 through 12. And we experience God through perfected love. We experience God through perfected love. Yesterday we had our talk on Philippians 3 and 4 and Colossians, and I got to do the devotion. And I want to just read one verse that I read out of there before I finish with my last other verse that I wanted to read. Colossians 1, verse 28 says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." The NIV says, fully mature in Christ. The way, it doesn't end when we ask Jesus to save us. It doesn't end when we say, "Jesus, please forgive me of my sins." That's where the way starts. And there is an intended effect. There is a way, there is a path, there is a goal. And it's to make us perfect. It's to make us mature. It's to bring blessings into our life from God. And we experience God as His love is perfected in us through obedience. 1 John 4, 12 through 16 says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us." Right? So Jesus said, "Abide in my love." How do you do that? You obey my commandments. What are the commandments? Love God, love one another. And if we love one another, this says God abides in us. And His love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. This is the relationship that God wants to have with us. It's a love relationship. But not the kind of love that we want, the selfish kind of love that God serves our needs whenever we want Him to, but the kind of love that God has a purpose and a plan and care for our life, and He's going to nudge us and push us into that direction until we willingly follow Him and we love others in that same way. We love others in that same way. Not saying, "Hey, you can do whatever you want to do and I'll just accept it." No, we love Him. We love others in that same way of pushing them towards the way that's going to lead to goodness and happiness and love. And this is one of my favorite verses because it says that we don't get to see God in this life, but we can experience Him. When we love other people, not the easy kind of love, "You give me a gift, I'll give you a gift." Not the secret sister kind of love. But the real hard kind of love. Somebody who's hurt you and you go to them and you say, "I forgive you." Because God's ready to do a work in your heart. Are you ready for Him to do it? I had a call from somebody this week that I didn't think I would ever get a call from. At least not for a while. And they were asking me, "Hey, would you help me? Would you minister to me? Would you help me minister to somebody else?" Are you ready to do that? Are you ready for somebody who's hurt you in the past? And just say, "Yeah, let's go do it. Let's go walk in that way together, the way that we both know Christ wants us to walk." That's love. That's obedience to God. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You are good. You are a good God. And love from You is showing us the way that we should go. You've made the path, and your Son has already paid the price. And now you say, please come. Walk in the way. Serve me. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me. Take his yoke upon us. It's not very heavy. It's not very burdensome. And it will give rest to your soul. And so, Lord, I pray that we would understand that true love is not just saying, I like you. True love is not just saying, hey, I hope we can have some fun together. But true love is walking together toward an intended effect. And true love is walking towards God's will. Everything else is a perversion of love. It's not love. It's harmful. It's detrimental. Only when we walk according to Christ's way do we really experience love and love one another. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in your love and to respond, receive it in obedience and express it in obedience and then help others to do the same. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to close with...